I want to begin with a statement, and I believe it's a bold statement. And here it is. This is the statement I'll give you this morning to start with. I can do all things. Now I'm going to stop there. Isn't that a bold statement? Isn't that an arrogant statement? If I stop there and that's it, I can do all things. That's an arrogant statement. There's a lot of pride involved in that statement. And think about it. If someone claims to be able to do anything they want to do or claim to have the power to overcome anything, that's a very, very, not only presumptuous statement, but I think arrogant statement. You know what's interesting is when we go to the Bible, we find that statement. And of course, I think many of you already know the rest of it, but we do find that statement, I can do all things. And the person who makes that statement, when you think about it, is really surprising. It's the Apostle Paul. And here's why. He's the same man in the Bible who tells us that he was nothing. He's also the same man who claimed to be the chief of sinners. And he even said this of himself. He said that he was the least of all saints. All three of those statements are very humbling. To say that, guess what, I'm nothing. And then guess what, I'm the chief of sinners. In other words, I'm the worst. I'm at the top of the list of sinners. And then the third one, I'm the least of all saints. Of all those that have been saved, I'm the one that deserves it the least. I'm at the bottom. You see, Paul was a very humble man. And so when you think of that statement, I can do all things, at first, and it can appear to be a contradiction. How can he be claiming this, but then claim to be that? Usually people like that we say, are hypocrites. They claim to be humble, but then turn around and tell you how good they are. And you say, if you got to brag about humility, then you're probably not humble. Well, this morning, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4, because I want to show you the rest of that verse, if you don't already know it, which you might, which gives us the key to the first part. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, if he had just ended with, I can do all things, which a lot of people do today, a lot of our athletes in this world do that, a lot of entertainers do that, they think they're invincible, they can do all things, and it stops there. That'd be a very proud and boastful statement. But because he finished it with, through Christ, which strengtheneth me, you know what he did? He gave Jesus Christ the credit for his strength. He gave Jesus Christ the glory for what he could do on this earth. You see, Paul remained humble in this statement. The first part appears to be bold and brash, but by adding that second part, he remained humble. And everything he said was absolutely true. He could do all things, but it had to come through Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, our strength. Jesus Christ, our strength. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for allowing us to meet here this morning. And I pray as we consider this verse and we consider the strength that you provide for us, I pray that our hearts will be open to your word. I pray that we'll be willing to not only hear it, but Lord, I pray we'll apply it. And I pray today we'll be reminded of how much you have given to us and what you provide for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm going to give you two thoughts. I just have 2 points this morning. The first one is what we can do without Jesus Christ. And the second one is what we can do with Jesus Christ. That's it. Just straightforward. Without Jesus Christ and then with Jesus Christ. How about without Jesus Christ first? What can we do? I want to share with you, and I hope to show you from the Scriptures, that I don't think we can do anything without Christ. I really don't. I believe, first off, that we are weak in our bodies, our physical bodies. You know, this morning you exist because of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Creator. We find that in John chapter 1, that He was from the beginning. All things are made by Him. You see, this morning you exist because of Jesus Christ. He's your Creator. But not only do you exist because of Jesus Christ, your life is sustained because of Jesus Christ. Even if you're not saved here this morning, your life is sustained because of Jesus Christ. Even those in this world that deny Jesus, how about those that oppose Jesus? How about those that fight against Him? Their life, according to God's Word, is sustained because of Jesus Christ. You talk about a humbling moment when those people that oppose God stand before Him and recognize or realize that the only reason they had life was because of the one they opposed. See, that's why the judgment's going to be a very humbling moment. You know, Colossians chapter 1 tells us about Jesus Christ. It says that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That word for consist means hold together. They maintain. They're sustained. I do believe that God holds this world together. I'm not a scientist by any stretch of the imagination. But I do know if levels of oxygen were just slightly changed in our world, there'd be no life on Earth. If our gravity was slightly changed, there'd be no life on Earth. We would float away or we'd be crushed from the pressure. The reason why this world remains and stays the same is not by chance, as an evolutionist will tell you. It just happens. It's because Jesus Christ keeps it that way. He holds it together. And it'll stay that way as long as Jesus Christ is in control, which is forever. Now, we do know that it'll be cleansed with fire, it'll be purified in the future. But God has a plan for the earth, and part of His plan is keeping it today. You know, this morning, everything consists. You are sustained because of Jesus Christ. Now, we can take care of our bodies, and we should. I need to take better care of mine. But we need to take care of our bodies. But this morning, nobody can guarantee life. I read just this week, there was a healthy 14-year-old boy, an athlete, right after baseball practice, collapsed. Coaches found him, he had no pulse. They hurried up and began to work on him. Ambulance arrived, they took him to the hospital. He was able to be revived, he's all right and he's recovering. But that young man had no control over what happened that day. His heart just stopped. And that's what the article said. His heart just stopped. This morning, I don't know about you, but I didn't wake up and say, I'm going to tune my heart in. I'm going to get it ready for the day. Now, spiritually, we need to get our hearts ready. But physically, our organs, our body, it's really out of our control. We can take care of it, but we can't guarantee we're going to live till tomorrow. That's in God's hands. God can guarantee that. And God is in control of that. You see, God is able to provide strength for our bodies. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. He is able to provide strength for our bodies. I think the greatest example of this is Samson. How many of you know about Samson? I think all these children know about Samson. I remember growing up, that was one of my favorite stories. I think Samson, man, I'd like to have that power and that strength. You know, the older I get, I have more respect for Joseph and the strength he had to endure all those 30 years of jail than I do Samson. Not that I wouldn't, you know, enjoy that power, but think about that. Physical power is what God provided for Samson. And if you read the accounts found in the book of Judges, you know what you find about Samson? I don't think there are anybody equal to him today. And we got a generation of steroids and every other kind of enhancement that people are taking. You read of his accounts and his exploits and what he did, God gave him tremendous power. And I believe it was for a purpose. Of course, it was to, during his day, to bless. But also, I believe it was for the rest of history for us to find or to see what God is able to do. God is able to provide more than what we can imagine. Now this morning, we should be grateful for doctors. We should be grateful for technology. God has allowed us to grow in those areas, and we should be grateful. I think we should take advantage of those. But you know what? We should trust God as well. We should put our faith in God and understand that God is able to give power to our bodies. And that's true. You know, God can still heal a sickness. You know, if you become ill, God can still heal your body. I've read accounts. Some of you may know people. There may be someone here who may have a testimony where you had a sickness. You prayed, you gave it to God, and maybe the doctors told you, you know, it can do nothing about it but a miracle. And maybe God provided that miracle. There are people living today that have that testimony that God has healed their body. See, God still heals, and He can still provide power for the body. This morning, we need power for our bodies. We do. We need God to provide so we can continue to live. Secondly, how about this? We are weak in mind and in spirit. I think of Samson. We just talked about him for a few minutes. He was strong in body. I mean, that man could take on an army. That man could push the walls of a building, a temple, and knock them down. He was strong in body, but I'll tell you this. He was also weak in mind and spirit. That's why Samson was easily deceived. That's why he got himself into trouble. He had a strong physical body, he had strength, but he up here he was weak. In the heart he was weak. His self-control, his willpower to to serve God and to obey God was weak. You know, this morning, I'm not going to get too much on Samson, because I'll tell you right now, I am also weak. I think we are all weak in our mind and in our spirit. You see, we have a sinful nature. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. We are born with a sinful nature. Adam sinned, and sin is passed down upon all men and women because of sin and because of our sinful nature. We are weak when it comes to sin. We are weak when it comes to serving God. You know what it means? I think it means that as human beings, as men and women, we are inclined to be proud. We like to brag, don't we? Even if it's just bragging to our friend a little bit. We are also inclined to be selfish. I want, I want, I want. We're inclined to be stubborn. Now, I know not all of you are stubborn. You're steadfast. You're not stubborn. We're stubborn. We can want our way, and we can just put our foot down, even when it comes to things of God. We can put our foot down and say, I'm gonna go this way. We can become stubborn. We can be unruly. We can become bitter. We can become vengeful. You see, we have a sinful nature. And if we're going to understand our need for Christ's strength, we need to understand our weakness concerning that. You know, I think we're weak when it comes to doing right. Philippians 4:13. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, I want to show you something. Let's go back a few verses. Notice what it says in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 4. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Notice what he says in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now let's not take this verse out of context. What I mean by that, there is a primary application to this verse. Now there are secondary or general applications, we can call them, and I believe that Christ's strength will provide for us in many areas. But as far as the primary application of this verse, we find that it concerns contentment. That's probably one of our greatest weaknesses as human beings, being content. Being content with what God has given. Being content with our family. Being content with where we were born. Being content with our parents. Being content with the way we are raised. Being content with the job we have. It is easy to become discontent. And that's what Paul was talking about when he says, I can do all things through Christ. He says, guess what? I can be content in all areas of my life. I can be content with what trial God has put me in. I can be content with what place God has set me in. I can be content with what role God wants for me as far as here on earth. You see, contentment, it takes a lot of strength to be content, because it's so easy to be discontent. And that's what Paul is talking about here. You see, to be content, we have to be strong in mind and spirit. It has nothing to do with our physical bodies. We can be healthy and strong and be discontent on the inside. And you know what happens when you're discontent? It'll usually lead to discouragement. If you're not careful, bitterness, and the whole list of troubles within that can come with being discontent. So we need to be strong in mind and spirit. The problem is, we are weak when it comes to our mind and spirit. Here's some thoughts on this. You know what? We're weak when it comes to doing right. Now, I'm including myself in this. We are weak. You know, left to themselves, children will squabble and fight. Brothers and sisters, for sure. But even children in general, if they're just left to themselves, that's why we have teachers. That's why you have people, adults, overseeing children. Because left to themselves, who knows what will happen? There'll be problems. Why? Because children have a sinful nature. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. You say, really? Children say, oh yeah. Mine. Give it. Whether it's theirs or not. You see, it's that sinful nature. They're weak when it comes to doing right. But I tell you what, it's very easy to do what's wrong because of that sinful nature. And by the way, adults can act this way too. Can we not? We can squabble, we can fight, we can have problems within family, within church, and within marriages. We can create all these problems and squabble and fight. And that's because we're weak. You know what this morning? We're weak when it comes to doing that which is right. You know what we are? We're quick to complain or criticize. But it takes a lot for us to give a compliment, does it not? Compliments come far and few between sometimes. Complaining and criticizing, sometimes if we're not careful, can happen nonstop. And we can complain and criticize, but it takes a little bit more to give a compliment. Here's another thought. You know what? We are easily discouraged. But it takes a lot for us to endure a trouble or a hardship. That's why I said at the beginning, I think I have more respect for Joseph, more admiration for him to endure 30 years of not only imprisonment, but false accusations and basically having to endure that for all that time. You think of this, we should be able to endure, but it's difficult. It's easier to get discouraged than it is to endure problems. Also, how about this? It's for the most part, we are eager to seek personal desires, but we slow down when it comes to personal sacrifice. We all want a promotion. We all want to climb the ladder, but very few of us want to say, after you. You first. I'm going to consider you. You see, we are apt to do what's wrong. We are weak when it comes to our mind and our spirit. Also, it's common for us to be found stubborn in sin. Sadly, it's rare to find us holding forth the truth, preaching and teaching and being a witness. This is because we're weak. We're weak against Satan. This morning, I'm going to tell you this. There are people that walk around and they talk like they're big before Satan. Be careful of that. We are not strong before Satan as far as our abilities and our strength. We are no match for him. We are no match for him with our intelligence, our strength, our abilities. We're talking about a being that is created higher than us as far as his abilities. And on top of that, think of the experience the devil has in tempting believers and discouraging believers. We can't match up with him in our own abilities. We're weak. We need some help. Also, we're weak with temptation. All of us, every one of us, are weak with temptation. It doesn't take much for us to fall. Someone can just say the wrong word, and guess what? We got all these things racing in our minds, and we want to react and say something. We're weak. It's easy for us just to react, whether it's with words or with actions. And so because of that, temptation often has the victory over us. We're often stumbling. We're often falling. And I know with me, I'm often on my knees asking forgiveness and seeking God to bless again. But that's because we're weak. Also, we're weak just in life. You see, we have a weak body, a weak spirit, and you know what that produces? That produces a weak life. What I mean by that is, you know, as believers, not just those that are in this world, but as believers, we can stumble easy. It doesn't take much for us to fall. That's why I think Paul gave several warnings in his letters to be careful of pride. Be careful of these sins, because it doesn't take much for us to fall. We're easily tempted, and we easily go astray. How many of you get distracted very easily? We can get distracted. And when we get distracted, what happens? We neglect our responsibilities. Our responsibilities before God. We neglect those. The way we're supposed to live, we ignore it because we're easily distracted by this world. Also, how we can be offended very easily. If we're not careful, we can, you know, go home and mope for weeks because someone looked at us the wrong way or said the wrong word, and come to find out they just happened to be glancing that direction. They didn't mean it. You see, we can become easily offended by someone's words or by someone's conduct. Also, we can be easily persuaded. Here's another weakness we have. Someone can talk us into something. Now, I know all of you are very, very strong-willed. Nobody here gets persuaded. We all have weaknesses. We can be persuaded. And if we're not careful, that persuasion can lead us into trouble. Let me give you an illustration. There's a story of a hunter. Man out hunting, and he raised his rifle and he took careful aim at this large bear. He had himself a big prize waiting. He's about to pull the trigger and this bear spoke to him. Not true story, as you know now. Bear spoke to him and he says, "You know what? Isn't it better to talk than to shoot? What do you want? How about we negotiate this matter?" Well, the hunter lowered his rifle. He thought about it for a minute, says, "That sounds like a good idea. Here's what I want. I want a fur coat." That bear said, "That's good. That's a negotiable demand. I want a full stomach. So let's sit down and negotiate. And that's what they did. A few minutes went by, and the bear walked away all by himself. Negotiations had been successful. He had a full stomach, and the man had a fur coat. I know there's a little humor there, but if we're not careful, we can be persuaded just as easily by this world, by false teachings. And next thing you know, we think we're living right before God, and then guess what? We read the Bible, and we don't find that teaching in the Bible. We read the Bible, and guess what? It says nothing about that. It says the opposite. We read the Bible, and we shouldn't be doing this. We should be doing that. And next thing you know, we got a lot of confessing to do and getting right with God. Why? Because we're weak. We're easily impressed or easily persuaded. Also, not only do we stumble easily, we're also slow to act. You know, I wonder when we get to heaven, the Lord, we're gonna really understand how patient He was with us. We are slow to act. You know, we know the importance of walking with God. You read your Bible, you come to church, you know the importance of walking with God. But how often do we neglect that? Well, I don't have time for my Bible today, I better get going. I don't have time for prayer today, I better get going. I don't have time for church this week, I better get going. We are slow to act. We know what's right, yet sometimes we just drag our feet. That's weakness. Also, we rejoice in salvation. How many of you are saved? You saved? I hope and pray. I ask you, how many of you are saved this morning? Amen. I don't know about you, but I rejoice that I'm saved. But how often do we tell others about that? That wonderful news of salvation. If you really believe that the lost are going to hell, you should be telling them. We know that. We know that's our responsibility. But you know what happens? We are slow to act. We're weak. It's just a weakness we have as human beings. And then here's the other weakness. We're swift. We're slow to act, but we're swift to quit. Yeah, I know some of you say, that's not me, Pastor. Well, we get discouraged easily. And we get down. And we think that we can't get out of this trial. Or we can't overcome this situation. Or this is going to be the end for us. And we get easily discouraged and we're swift to quit. We're ready to throw in that towel. We're ready to say all is done. And ready to almost, I don't say lose our faith, but just to give up on God, on Him blessing us and working in our life. You see, discouragement can often set in rapidly. And we find ourselves doing nothing, just sitting there. I think it's safe to say right now that the Bible is correct. We are weak and we need strength. John 15, notice what Jesus said here, John chapter 15. In verse 1, He says, I am the true vine, My Father is the husbandman. And then He goes on to explain what the branch and the relationship between the branches and the vine and Jesus and believers. And verse 4, He says, abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. And then in verse 5, He says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, He says, ye can do nothing. Memorize that. If nothing else, memorize that last part. If you think on that, and you consider that, I guarantee it's going to humble your heart. Without Me, ye can do nothing. You can't just do some things. You can't make it through. You can do nothing. That's all of us here. Without Christ, we can do nothing. You know, we've just covered our weak body, our weak spirit, our weak mind, and our weak life. I think it's safe to say we need God's strength as believers. We need God's strength to get us through. And that's what I want to talk about next. Philippians 4, verse 13. It's a very straightforward verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notice there's no limitation here. Point that out to you first. No limitation. Paul didn't say, I can do some things through Christ. I can do this through Christ. He said, I can do all things through Christ. There is no limitation. This morning, there should be no limitation on your faith. Whatever trial God has placed before you, whatever trouble has come into your life, whatever temptation is trying to get you to pull away from God, you can overcome it with God's strength. You can do all things through Christ. There should be no limitation in your faith. I challenge you this morning to live by faith, trusting God 100%, claiming this verse that you can overcome with God's power. You know, as far as strength concern in Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you a few thoughts, three of them real quick. First, Jesus gives divine strength. That's why His strength enables us to live above this world. He gives divine strength. You know, when it comes to weakness today, people will search high and low for strength. I'm going to give you some thoughts here. First, you have some that look to the world for strength. Alcohol and drugs are often part of this. They look to the world for strength. Now, I know that medicine is important, and this is not against medicine. I'm talking about those that take these so they can check out a reality. Those that abuse these. You know what they do? They basically ignore their problem, but they don't overcome it. That problem is still there. They're out of reality for a few hours or however long it is, and then when they come back to reality, that problem is staring them right in the face. And that's how many become not only addicted, but destroyed. Because they just continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. Next thing you know, their life is ruined. You see, what happens is the problem remains. They just simply ignore it. Their weakness has not been taken care of. How about worldly philosophies? That includes religion to any other man-made method to overcome weaknesses. You know what we find? Here's what happens. People will ease their conscience, but they won't solve their problem. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference between feeling good and being healed. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says you have this, this, this. This disease, this disease, this disease. You know what? I'm not looking for my doctor next to begin to tell me how good I am and begin to give me a feel-good message and tell me, oh, you're all right, you're such a wonderful person. Yeah, that's nice, but how about this problem? How can I remedy the situation? Is there medicine? Is there something I can do to take care of this? You see, this morning, religion and worldly philosophies, all they offer is just ease of mind. Whether it's through entertainment, whether it's through man-made methods just to take your mind off the problem, whatever it is, all that takes place is just easing the conscience. The problem remains. And basically, in both cases, men and women are just required to work a little bit more. You just work a little bit harder. You just do a little bit more. And everything will take care of itself. You know what religion does? Religion ignores sin and just tells people to work. And you know what man-made methods do? They just shift the sin is what they do. They basically say, oh, don't worry about it. You take care of this sin. And then next thing you know, another sin pops up. They don't take care of sin. They just ease the conscience. This morning, you know what the Bible tells us? Jesus Christ provides strength to overcome sin. And by the way, that's our problem this morning is sin. We have a sinful nature. We have sinned before God. And that's what we need to address and get taken care of. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, and you... He's talking to the believers there at the church in Colossae. You, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened. Now that word for quickened means to give life. Together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know what we find in the Bible? You know what Jesus Christ, you know what His remedy of sin is? To pay the price. And then to forgive the sinner. And that's what it is. A pardon. Forgiveness. You see, this morning, God is going to hold sinners accountable. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. What kind of an employer would withhold wages from someone? Probably one that's going to end up in court is the kind of employer that's going to withhold wages from someone. And without any employers, they're going to stop working. What kind of a God would we have if He withheld wages from individuals? He wouldn't be a righteous God, would He? He wouldn't be a fair God. God is going to give to each one what is deserved. For the wages of sin is death, found in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But you know what God also did? He said, I'm going to provide an answer to that problem. And that answer is Jesus Christ. And He sent His Son to die on the cross, as we've just read in Colossians chapter 3, that He took our sin, He nailed it to the cross. Now think about that for a minute. If you're saved here this morning, your sin hasn't been ignored, as the worldly methods do. Your sin hasn't been shifted. Your sin has been paid for. Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross. He took your sin upon Him and He made the payment. No different than if somebody would walk into the bank tomorrow or call you up and say, "Hey, you, what outstanding loans do you have? I'd like to pay them for you." And you say, "Well, let me hurry up. I want to get down there and take your word on it." And you run down to the bank, and there they find out what loans that are out, and they begin to pay. Maybe a car payment, maybe a house payment. They pay it all off for you. And so that way afterwards, guess what? The payment wasn't ignored, was it? It was taken care of. But you now have freedom from that payment. If it's a house, you got a house. It's yours. That's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Our sin was not ignored. It was not shifted to another section where we're going to have to account for it later. It was paid for. And so this morning, if you're saved, you're forgiven. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, that sin belongs to you still. You still owe it. You're still going to receive the wages for that sin. So you need Jesus Christ's strength when it comes to sin. So that way you can be forgiven. So we find that only Jesus Christ is able to overcome sin. Now you think about other areas that Jesus Christ can overcome. He can overcome problems. Think about Samson. He provided strength for his body. God can provide strength for your body today if you would choose to. Also, how about troubles? We've talked about Joseph a little bit. All that time in prison and dealing with those troubles, God gave him strength, and God can give you strength as well. But you know what? Only divine strength can overcome sin. Only divine strength can overcome the problems we have in this world. And the reason being is because there's no strength in this world that is stronger than that. Only strength that is more powerful than sin, than the devil, and then temptation can overcome it. And that's the strength we find in God. So we see that He provides divine strength. Secondly, He provides daily strength. We need strength every day that we live. From the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, you're going to need God's strength. Because temptations, first off, you're going to be tempted daily. Each one of us will be tempted. And the temptations are going to come in different forms. They're going to come from different areas. But I guarantee you, you get up, and even if you stay in bed, you say, "I'm going to stay in bed all day." That's a temptation already there, just to be lazy and do nothing. We're going to be tempted in this world. We just got to prepare for that. You know, the devil never takes a day off. I don't think he takes any vacation. He's active. Actually, he looks for us to take the day off. What I mean by that is not physical vacation, but how about spiritual neglect? He looks for us to become lazy in our spiritual life, and then he'll jump on that. And then he'll provide trouble, maybe tempt, and try to get us to be discouraged. But the devil continues to work. We're tempted daily, so we need daily strength. Also, we have troubles on a daily basis. You know, we have new trials to deal with. Tomorrow morning, you may wake up, start your day, and by the middle of the day, there just may be a new trouble that you're dealing with. It may not be something that is terribly pressing, but something you just got to deal with. We have troubles that come constantly, so we got to be ready. How about this? We have responsibility daily as well. We need to live before God. We're responsible for our life before Him. You're responsible to your family if you're married. You're responsible to your brethren in Christ if you're saved. You're responsible for your calling. How about your testimony at work? You're responsible for that. You see, we're responsible for that, so we need Christ's strength to help us to get through those days. And that's why it's important. Also, here's the third thought, and I'm going to close with this. We need distinct strength. And what I mean by that, Jesus Christ provides strength that is sufficient for you. The strength you need tomorrow to get through the day is going to be strength that is different than I might need to get through my day. Or someone sitting next to you might need to get through their day. But Jesus Christ will provide the strength that is suited for your needs. He's not going to give you too much strength so you can show off like Superman. He's not going to give you, I can say, strength that is not enough. He's going to give you what is needed to get through your day. How about the strength for the trials you face? Every one of us deals with different difficulties. You know, we can go around the room. None of our lives are the same. We all have different trials and different troubles. Jesus Christ can provide the strength for your trial this morning. That's what Paul was talking about. I can do all things through Christ. He's saying, guess what? I can be content through this. Whatever difficulty comes in to my life, wherever God chooses to take me, whatever He allows me to face, I can be content. I can find strength with Him. This morning, you can find strength with Jesus Christ, with whatever you have to face tomorrow, this week, this month, or just life in general. Also, how about this? We can have strength for the calling that God has given to us. You know, God has not called everybody to be a pastor. God has not called everybody to be a missionary. I tell you what, we need Christian lawyers. We need Christian doctors. We need Christian construction workers. We need Christian... The list goes on and on and on. Professions. Whatever profession God has called you into. We need Christians. When I say we need, I'm talking about a testimony. I'm talking about being a witness for God. Of course, God doesn't need us, but God will use you where you are. And we need to really think about this. He'll provide the strength for you to go the direction He wants you to go. To overcome the obstacles. You know, when you read the Bible, you find men and women of all different professions that God worked through and God blessed. And God will provide the strength you need for your calling so you can serve the Lord. Also, He'll supply the strength specifically for you when you need it. When you need it. You know, you may not need the strength to overcome a trial right now, but when you need it, He's going to provide it. See, that's living by faith. That's living day to day for God. And that's what we need to do. You know, this morning, I'm going to point out two thoughts with you on how we get this strength real quick. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I don't want to end this message without showing you how we can have this strength or how we're to receive it. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I want to point it out to you. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 14, he says there, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." You know how you receive this strength? I believe there are basically two ways that we receive the strength that we have from Christ. Now, we're saved. I'm not talking about salvation. You're saved. Holy Spirit dwells within you. Your eternity is secure. But strength on a daily basis, first off, it's received from the Spirit is how we receive this strength. You know, the Bible tells us or cautions us concerning grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. You know, the Spirit dwells within you. And the Spirit is God. And the Spirit, the Bible tells us, will teach us the things of Jesus. And He will guide us after the ways of Jesus Christ. What we need to do as believers is yield to that Spirit, to the Holy Spirit within us, and yield to His direction and yield to His leadership and allow Him to lead our life. You know, the Holy Spirit, and here's my second thought here, the Holy Spirit will never lead contrary to God's Word. You see, God has given His Word. You go through the Old Testament, it was the Spirit who inspired men to write this Word. He's not going to lead you contrary to what He's already written. So the second way that we can find strength is in God's Word. You see, when you read God's Word, your eyes will be opened up to what God wants, what God expects, where God wants you to go, and so forth. You see, the Spirit will work with God's Word to provide the strength of Jesus Christ in your life. What that means for us this morning, as believers, if you're saved here this morning, what you need to do, read God's Word, study it, and meditate on the Scriptures. And then allow the Spirit to lead. Follow the Spirit. Take all things to God in prayer and trust in His direction. You know, in closing this morning, Jesus Christ, not only does He provide strength, He is our strength. Think about that. He is our strength. No different than, you know, in Colossians it says He's our life. He is also our strength. He doesn't just strengthen you, He is your strength. And what you do for God is because of Jesus Christ. How you live today is the strength that He provides. And He will provide strength from day to day. He will provide strength when it is needed. And He'll provide strength that is sufficient for you to get through your troubles, your trials, or to deal with whatever is in your life. You know, this morning, I'm going to give you that verse one more time. I can do all things. A very bold statement. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. A very humbling finish to the statement. I believe, if you're saved here this morning, that verse applies to you. There is no reason why we cannot serve God. There is no reason why we cannot live above sin. There is no reason why we can't do what is correct, because Jesus Christ can provide the strength that is required. What we need is to live in His strength. I want to encourage you this morning to live in His strength. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to close in prayer this morning. If you have any questions, or as I pray, if you want to seek the Lord in prayer, I encourage you to do so. We're not going to have a traditional invitation just because of the way it's set up here this morning. But if there is someone here, maybe throughout this message, God has worked in your heart, and perhaps the reason why you don't have strength, maybe the reason why you're continuing in weakness is because you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. You see, if you don't have Him, you don't have His strength. You don't purchase it. It doesn't come by itself. It comes with having Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here this morning that you've been in church, you've tried to live correct, but you're not sure if you're saved. You're not sure if you have repented of your sins and you made a personal decision to trust in Christ as your Savior. This morning, if that's you, if you have questions, please see me after the message, or someone in the church that you know can answer that question for you, and we can show you what God has said from His Word concerning salvation. Maybe you already know what you need to do. Confess your sin, repent of your sin, and trust in Christ as your Savior. That's it. From your heart. If that's the case, if you know what you need to do, please get that taken care of. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings that You have given to us. I pray that we will... Lord, I pray that we'll just live in Your strength. We thank You for it. We thank You for providing Your strength for us so we can get through each day, so we can overcome temptation, so we can get through trials and troubles. Lord, I pray that each one of us will continue, those that are living in Your strength will continue to do so. If there's anyone here that has been neglecting that, I pray this morning they'll make that commitment to live in Your strength. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to settle salvation and needs to get things settled with You, I pray that they get that taken care of as well. We thank You for this day.